tortoise.
Hello, I'm Claudia, and this is The Sensemaker from Tortoise. One story every day to make sense of the world. Today, Labour's deputy leader has promised to step down if a police investigation finds that she broke the law when claiming her council house as her main residence. But what is actually being alleged about Angela Rayner, and what are the consequences if she's found to have been in the wrong? That's after a short break.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk-takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Angela Rayner is a lively addition to the House of Commons. She's also a divisive one. Find out if she's likely to succeed Starmer to become the Red Queen of the Labour Party by reading Lord Ashcroft's new book, Red Queen.
Earlier this year, extracts were published from an unauthorised biography about Labour's deputy leader, written by a Conservative member of the House of Lords that contained some relatively unremarkable claims about Angela Rayner. The allegations centre on whether her primary residence was the house she bought through the UK's right to buy scheme as a single mum in 2007, or whether it was the house belonging to the man she married in 2010, Mark Rayner. It might not seem like much, but this has prompted two potentially difficult questions for one of Labour's most senior figures. The first is whether Angela Rayner underpaid capital gains tax when she sold the house she bought through the right to buy scheme. In 2015, she sold that house for a profit of £48,500. If it was her primary address, as she claimed, she wouldn't have had to pay capital gains tax on that profit. But if the second house, just over a mile away belonging to her husband, was her main residence, she would owe between £1,500 and £3,500. According to tax experts, including Dan Needle, who has been instrumental in uncovering the tax affairs of other public figures, such as former Minister Nadeem Zahawi and Tory peer Michelle Moan, Angela Rayner's stance is at odds with the rules. Despite her spokesperson saying that she has taken expert tax and legal advice, which confirms that no capital gains tax was payable on the sale of her home, Dan Needle argues that a married couple is allowed just one primary residence. Therefore, from the point at which she was married, 5 years before she sold the property, there could only be one joint primary address. The second question being posed by this saga is, has Angela Rayner breached electoral law? Under UK rules, voters must register at their permanent home address, and there are penalties for providing false information when registering to vote. It appears to be this second question that's prompted Greater Manchester Police to open an investigation, after previously saying there was no need for one. It did so after the Conservative MP and Deputy Party Chairman James Daly reported her, although when asked by the BBC's Joe Coburn, even he couldn't explain exactly why.
Right, but what is it you think she's done? If the police had originally said they didn't think there was anything to actually respond to, what is it that you've brought to light that has changed that?
The situation is that information was provided to Greater Manchester Police as per any other person making a complaint or a potential complaint. Greater Manchester Police have assessed that. They are now carrying out an investigation, and I think that we should allow them to carry out that investigation.
But I still don't. So what's the offence that you think that's been committed?
My understanding is that the...
He still didn't answer the question, but neighbours have apparently disputed Angela Rayner's version of events, evidence which James Daly used in his submission to the police. And according to the Sunday Times, one of Angela Rayner's former aides has given a statement to the police, which also contradicts her claims about where she lived. As for Angela Rayner, she's always insisted that she's done nothing wrong. Here she is speaking to the BBC's Newsnight.
The rules are complex and there's various different ways to which it's calculated. But I got that expert advice because if I did owe any capital gains tax, I would have said, and I would have paid it. But I don't owe any capital gains tax because of the circumstances.
We'll have more after the break.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, yeah. We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Tomini from Tortoise. This podcast is sponsored by EY. Safe, efficient and reliable railways help to keep us all connected, thanks to Network Rail. Yet, maintenance on the railways is a risky and sometimes fatal business. At Network Rail, two previous attempts to invigorate its track worker safety programs had failed, leaving employees feeling sceptical that the organisation could ever get railway safety right. Since 2019, EY teams have worked with Network Rail to deliver a transformation that improved safety protocols and changed employee behaviour around safety. Network Rail RailHub, a new digital safety platform and app, eliminated inaccurate paper trails and worked offline, so it could be used by workers in remote locations. Since the platform was introduced, near misses affecting maintenance workers on the railways have fallen by 40%. Read the full story at ey.com.
People lost their loved ones and wasn't able to see people in their dying minutes while he was getting drunk at number 10 having parties, knowing full well that that was completely unacceptable.
The police investigation put Angela Rayner in a tricky position because she spent much of her time as deputy leader attacking the Conservatives for failing to uphold standards in public life. So she upped the stakes.
I've repeatedly said I would welcome the chance to sit down with the appropriate authorities, including the police and HMRC, to set out the facts and draw a line under this matter. I am completely confident I followed the rules at all times.
This is from a statement she issued last Friday.
We have seen the Tory party use this playbook before, reporting political opponents to police during election campaigns to distract from their record. I will say, as I did before, if I committed a criminal offence, I would, of course, do the right thing and step down. The British public deserves politicians who know the rules apply to them.
Her decision to put her job on the line mirrors what Labour leader Keir Starmer did during a row that became known as Beergate, where he vowed to resign if he was handed a police fine for breaking lockdown rules.
I believe in honour, integrity, and the principle that those who make the laws must follow them.
He was cleared, which meant he could continue to hold the Tories to account for their failings, particularly when it came to Partygate. Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner have had their differences, but if she has to fall on her sword, it could cause him a headache. He can't decide who replaces her as deputy leader because it's a role elected by Labour Party members, and any vote would likely expose some of the party's divisions over issues like Gaza or welfare policy, something the Labour leader could do without ahead of a general election. That this row has taken place against the backdrop of the local elections also underlines just how vital Angela Rayner is in forging a connection with people outside Westminster. She speaks to a group of members and voters that Keir Starmer never will. Losing her would make his life harder, just as people prepare to head to the polls. Thank you for listening to The Sensemaker from Tortoise. This episode was written by political editor Kat Nealon and mixed by Ada Barume.
Tortoise. I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch,
yeah.
We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.